Bless the Lord. The title this morning of the message, Mary and the Fragrant Spikenard. Let's turn in the Word of God, first of all, to Matthew 26. This account, which is well known to most of us, Mary pouring out the fragrant ointment on the head and feet of Jesus, our Lord, as she was in Bethany. It's found in three passages of Scripture, Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John chapter 12. Let's look at Matthew 26, first of all. Matthew 26 and verse 3. Verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box or flask of very precious ointment and poured it out on his head as he sat at food or at the table. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial or a memory of her." Then we have Mark's account. In this account in Matthew 26, notice that the disciples had indignation, saying, "To what was this waste?" The disciples of the Lord. Then we come to Matthew or Mark chapter 14. And verses 3 to 6. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation. There were some in the room that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, pence or denarii, which was a year's wage, and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me." Some in the room said, "Why this waste?" And then John chapter 12, and verses 2 to 5. There they made him a supper in Bethany. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, who had been raised from the dead just a short time before. Lazarus was at the table with the disciples and invited guests. Verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 denarii, for a year's supply of money, and given to the poor?" A number of weeks ago, Pastor Mark preached a message on a Monday night called Brokenness. And there was an amazing prophetic spirit in the message and on the night as the word settled on our hearts. And he spoke on Mary and this anointing at Bethany. And that message has lingered in my spirit for many, many weeks. And I felt the Lord add to my spirit and add some thoughts to these passages of Scripture. And I want to share those, but I want to give you some statements from that message of a few weeks ago that began to burn in my heart. When we are broken, we do things that seem crazy in the eyes of others. When we are broken, brokenness overrides what common people call common sense. When you are broken, you don't just take off the lid and offer a drop or two. When you're broken, you pour it all out. It was this woman that was broken. The alabaster jar was simply the evidence. It's why some don't come. They aren't broken. And then commenting on the phrase, and there were some that had indignation, Pastor Mark said, you know what? Don't worry about the some. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let their murmuring bother you. Don't let their indignation or displeasure weigh on you. Brokenness, breaking of our hearts, the opening of our hearts to the Lord, the pouring out of everything that's within us like Mary with adoration and praise on the Lord. There was a supper in Bethany. Bethany, approximately 2 miles from Jerusalem in the days of old. It was the town of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and it was also the town or the village of Simon the leper, Simon who had been healed of leprosy. And Jesus was coming into the region, and just before his crucifixion, a few days, and Simon, who had been healed, wanted to hold a supper for the Lord in his own house. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus, of course, would have been good friends. And Martha was serving, Lazarus was sitting at the table, and Mary was in the house. And Mary wanted to do something extraordinary for the Lord. She wanted to show the Lord how greatly she appreciated him, how much she loved him, how thankful she was for what the Lord had done in her life and in the life of her family while the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And all the salvation that had come to her house. And Mary had this precious alabaster flax worth a year's wage. In our day right now, $70,000, maybe $100,000 in one flask of ointment. You say, where did Mary get that flask? Maybe it was a family heirloom passed down. Some anointing that would go on the bodies for burial of the family and relatives. Maybe it was something she had labored for, invested. I want to do something for the Lord in my lifetime, and one of these days I'm going to be able to pour out everything and give him the most lavish gift that I can think of to bless him and pour out my life. And you can imagine the trepidation that was in Mary's heart as she stood outside the door. Why, it was a room full of men. Jesus was there, the disciples, Lazarus, some other invited guests, and here she was, a woman. Would she breach protocol and order? I wonder how long she stood outside the door with her heart pounding and taking some deep breaths. And then finally she crossed the line of faith and she was in the room and she broke the neck off the alabaster flax and poured ointment on Jesus' head, that fragrant ointment. She was anointing his headship. She was anointing his lordship. She was anointing his leadership in her life. You are my Lord. You lead me. You guide me. You're my shepherd. And then she was kneeling down at his feet and she poured that precious fragrant ointment over his feet and she wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings of good things, that bring salvation. See, she was honoring his gospel ministry. She was honoring his salvation. Where would that family have been without her? Without him, where would that family have been? Lost in darkness, bound under the chains of darkness and sin, in captivity and bondage to the slavery of the flesh life and of this world. But the Lord had come and he had brought life and deliverance. He'd raised their family. He'd healed Lazarus. The Lord was so worthy. She poured out everything. She honored the gospel, the feet of him that brought the gospel. There are three things I want to bring to us this morning. Number one, when you are broken, you can pour. When you are broken, you can pour. And when you're not broken, all you can manage is a few drops of praise, a few drops of worship, a few drops of prayer. But once you are broken, you can pour without restriction. You can pour in the presence of the Lord. You can pour out gushings of the Spirit. You can pour out unutterable words that come by the Holy Spirit and prayers that come from deep within out of the Spirit that's been recreated and anointed by Jesus Christ. Once you're broken, you can pour. As Pastor Mark said, the reason some people can't pour is because they're not broken. See, we need our neck broken. We need our neck broken, which speaks in the Word of God of our stubbornness, of our reluctance, of our obstinacy, of our calculated response to the Lord. We need our neck broken so we can pour out from within the fragrance, the adoration, that worship that Jesus Christ deserves. Do you know that churches need their neck broken? Because till then, they're pretty stiff and they're pretty dry, and there is very little that goes out on the Lord. Very little adoration and worship and prayer that's poured out on the living Son of God. But once the neck is broken, the church can pour. The church can stand in the presence of God by the hour and minister in prayer and minister in worship before the presence of the Lord. We need our neck broken. You know, till the neck is broken off the flask, and that alabaster flask, like Mary, represents you and me. Until the neck is broken off the flask, we always feel restricted. The temperature in the building isn't quite right, and the music's too loud or too soft. The food's too cold, the bed's too hard, the climate isn't good, it's too rainy, it's too snowy, it's too dreary. Until our neck is broken, there's always restriction. But once your neck is broken, it doesn't matter where you are, what place you live, what climate you're in. It doesn't matter. You can pour out on the Lord. You can bless the Lord. You can adore the living God. Some people feel restriction. My ministry isn't recognized. I'm not received. There's always something seems to be holding me back. But once you're broken, you can pour out anywhere, any place, anytime among the people of God and house of God. Recognized, not recognized, it doesn't matter. You can pour. You have a place or you feel like you have no place, it doesn't matter. You can pour out on the living God. You pour your adoration. You pour your praise. You pour your worship. You pour your deep prayers in the Spirit out on the living God. So point number one. Once you're broken, you can pour. You can pour. Number two, while Mary was pouring out, the preachers were standing around. While Mary was pouring out, the preachers were standing around talking about their ministries, about feeding the poor and their budgets and their programs. And I mean, you think of these disciples. They traveled up and down the land with Jesus. They preached the gospel in villages. They saw demons cast out. Healings were performed as they laid hands on the sick. These men were standing around talking about the budgets and the program and what they could do with another year's wage, another $100,000. My, how they could administrate the kingdom and do the work of the Lord. While Mary was pouring out, the preachers were standing around. I've been to enough ministers' meetings and conferences and services where Mary is pouring out, people are pouring out, and the preachers are standing around, hands at their side, almost disengaged sometimes. But my, when they get the platform, can they spring into action? While Mary's pouring out, they're reviewing their sermon notes. Or recently, not this last week, but a couple of months ago, I was in a meeting and the preacher was texting all through the worship. Back and forth, message coming in, respond. When it was time for him to minister for an hour, he didn't need to text. No text in that whole hour. And my, he was binding and loosing and declaring and prophesying and flowing. You know, there's something the Lord's looking for. And that is our brokenness and our pouring out on him first. You know what Jesus said? What this woman has done will be preached in all the world as a memory. Jesus said, let Mary alone. What she has done will be preached throughout the world wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ goes. All those preachers in that room, those disciples with the big ministries, we know little about them. Most of them, we know little about them. But everybody knows what Mary did. because she poured out everything on Jesus. And you can see what the Son of God values and what he appreciates first and foremost. You think of those preachers in the room. We know their names, but we know little about them. Most of them, Thomas, Bartholomew, James the Less, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite. My, you have to search and scratch through legend and tradition and historical claim in parts of the world to try and piece together if these men were even there and what they did. All the men with the big ministries, little is known about them, but everybody knows what Mary did, and she poured out on the Lord. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants your brokenness above everything else. There's something he wants more than our ministry, something he wants more than our work and our service, and that is our worship, our adoration, our brokenness, where we pour out our love and adoration and affection on him for who he is and what he has done in our lives. Work for the Lord will never replace or be a substitute for the worship of the Lord in our lives. Sometimes we can fool ourselves and substitute our work for our worship. But Jesus said they're separate. He wants our worship and he wants our work, but they're two different things. And the first thing he's looking for is that brokenness, where the neck is broken and the stubbornness is off our life and the reluctance is off our life, and we pour out in his presence. He himself said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." And that's the order. First, we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And then secondly, we love our neighbor. We help the poor. We deal with ministry. We pour out our lives in service. Mary was pouring it out, pouring it out. I've thought so many times of a scene in my own spirit of heaven and how we'll all be there one day and the Lord will be giving out his rewards. And lots of us preachers will be far back in the line. And I'm good with that, because there are people that have poured out their lives to the Lord like Mary. Never written a book, never traveled to the nations of the world, never had some great ministry in the eyes of men, but they knew how to pour out everything in prayer, in fasting, in worship, in love on the Lord. And those people will be first in line. Jesus said, "Let Mary alone. This is what I value above everything else. I value the brokenness of my people in my presence, where they come and pour out everything on me in thanksgiving and adoration and love." Hallelujah. You think of Anna in Luke chapter 2, a widow of 84 years of age. 84 years of age now. It says she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. 7 years into the marriage as a young woman, her husband had passed away. Imagine the heartache, the sorrow of this young woman. What would she do? She gave her life to the Lord. She gave her life to serve and love the Lord. And at 84 years of age, she was still in the temple, it says, night and day with fasting and prayers, calling out on God, pouring out her life, worshiping and adoring the Lord. And the Lord had her there as a watchwoman in the earth, as a watchman. She was there birthing the coming of Christ, birthing the redemption of the world through the Son of God. God had her in the right place. And what a powerful ministry she poured out before the Lord. The Lord loves our labor for him. He loves our work. He loves our service for him. And we must strive, the Bible says. We must strive in labors for the ministry and the gospel. But there's something he wants before all of that, and it's our brokenness, where we pray and pour out, and we worship and pour out. We adore the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength in his presence. Number three, don't glue your flask back together because of some in the room. Don't glue your flask back together. Sometimes people get discouraged by criticism in the house, in the room. Don't glue your flask together Don't put the walls back up on your pouring out because of somebody else. You keep pouring out no matter what people say. You keep pouring out no matter what the situation or the setting is. Sometimes there's the disciples in the room, as we saw in Matthew 26. Then the disciples said, you know, there are times that preachers can discourage people. As I travel and see people, sometimes people in towns and places where there's no vibrant, fervent church, they are so discouraged that they've almost given up their own fervency before the Lord because the preachers aren't pioneering and persevering with prayer services and worship and adoration in the houses of God. And those with a fervent heart to serve the Lord become so broken under that weight. They want to worship. They want to come into the house of the Lord and pour out and give everything. But the preachers have controlled the service, brought it back to a few drops of prayer and a few drops of praise and a few drops of the Word of God. And people are discouraged. Don't let any preacher discourage you. Don't let criticism in the room discourage you. My, they spoke against Mary, what she was doing, how she was pouring out her fervent heart. Sometimes we endure criticism in the house of God. People say things about our surrender. People say things about our motives. People say things about our action like they did over Mary. Don't glue back the flask of your life because of the criticism of other people. You keep pouring it all on Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord. Don't worry about the sum. Don't let the sum affect you because Jesus values what you're doing when you worship and praise him with all your heart. Don't worry about the Judas spirit, some that would be calculating, miserly before the Lord, only wanting to give so much, only wanting to come so much, so calculated in their response to the Lord. Don't let that influence you and discourage you. Don't let the lukewarmness, don't let the casualness of other Christians hold you back from pouring out everything you have for Jesus Christ our Lord. Come into the prayer service early and pour it out. Come into the worship service and pour it out. Everything you have upon Jesus Christ. You know, he said, the poor you have with you always. But he said, me you don't always have. And it's the truth. We don't have the opportunity to pour out on Jesus all day long and all night long. We're busy. We're ministering. We're feeding the poor. We're taking care of our families. We're taking care of the responsibilities of life. But when we come into the room, the house of God, we have a few minutes, a few hours together every week when we can pour out everything on the Son of God. And that's where we must pour. That brokenness of our lives before the Lord. Give it all till it's all gone. Pour it out. Pour out the fragrant anointing. Pour out the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Pour out the life of the Holy Spirit in you. Pour it out till it's all gone. Give it all till it's all gone in life. That we come to the end of our days and every last bit has been poured out of our vessel on our Lord for his life and his love and his service and ministry. But, you know, every service, think of it. I can come in every service and I can give it all till it's all gone. Pour out the prayer, pour out the worship till I've expended myself and poured it all out on Jesus Christ. A scene in my spirit that I'll never forget. I was in the Philippines a few years ago ministering with another man of God and conference and many churches, many people were together. And there was a man in that crowd at the front that was very incapacitated. He wasn't a preacher, wasn't a minister in that sense. He was a man who came from America, probably in his, he looked like maybe 50s. He wanted to come and help the ministry in the Philippines. He had some connections and he came. He wanted to serve wherever he could. He wasn't highly skilled, but wherever he could, he was going to be a blessing and make a difference. And he was in that worship service that night. And there he was standing there with braces on his legs, standing there with crutches, metal crutches in his hands, with supports for his elbows. And as the worship began to flow and the Filipinos began to sing and pour out their lives before the Lord, holding nothing back, all of a sudden, this man began to dance before the Lord. The other minister I was with, we looked at each other in disbelief because he'd wonder how could this man dance before the Lord? When he danced, his body, his limbs were going in six directions at the same time. And there he was in the most awkward way, dancing before the Lord as much as he could. And you know, tears filled my eyes. Because I understood in that moment what that man's offering meant to the Lord. That brokenness, that surrender, that service. And you know that the Bible says that we are to worship the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We lift up our hands, we shout, we praise the Lord, we dance, we kneel, we clap our hands, we worship, we pour out of our innermost being the rivers of living water on the Lord. This morning I want to remind you that we are to give it all till it's all gone. Let's stand together. Pour it out till it's all gone. Maybe you're here this morning and you've glued up the flask of your life. Maybe because of disappointment, some sorrow, some criticism. You've glued up the flask of your life and you don't pour like you did when you first came to know the Lord. Would you break the neck of the flask once again? Break the reluctance. Break that hardness off your life. Say, I'm going to pour out for the Lord with all that I have within me. Maybe you're here today and you need a fresh touch from the Lord. Say, I need the Holy Spirit to touch the deep of me. There's not much coming out of me in the presence of the Lord. I need a touch of the Holy Spirit. I need to learn to pour once again, or maybe like you never have. Let's take a few minutes this morning and let's break our reluctance. Let's break the calculated response to Jesus. Sometimes we give him so little and he's worthy of so much, isn't he? Sometimes we're slow to come to the house of God. We're weighed down by our physical infirmities and by the pressures and burdens of life. But he is so worthy. And when we come into the room, we want to break it all and let it pour out. You know, there are some people that change the atmosphere of the room. There are some people that change some conditions in this world, spiritual conditions, because they've learned how to pour it out before the Lord. This morning, the altars are open. If you need a fresh touch of the Lord, you say, Lord, I need to begin to flow in great measure. I've been restricted. I've held back. But this morning, I give my life to you in a fresh way. If you want to respond to the altar call and come, please do. Come and present yourself before the Lord. But for a few moments, let's all of us pour it out on the living God. Pour it out on the Son of God. Let him know he's worthy. Show him your gratitude. Show him what he's worth by the offering that you bring. Hallelujah. The altars are open. Let's sing together. Hallelujah, Lord.